Rob Nyer, along with Bill James, wrote the aptly named Nyer James Guide to Pitchers, an historical compendium of pitching, pitchers, and pitches. And Rob Nyer joins Kevin Barker and myself, Baseball Central. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you, because you literally wrote the book along with Bill James, is there an epidemic of blisters in baseball? What constitutes an epidemic?
That's a good question. Well, I think it's too early to say because nobody's actually compiled the information. It's certainly true that it seems to be uncommonly common right now around baseball, but simple statistical rules would tell you that you're going to have outbreaks of everything every once in a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that the numbers work. You're not going to have a perfect distribution of anything over a period of months or years. So this might just be a little flare-up that will go away naturally. On the other hand, I think it's also indisputable that if the baseball is different, that is going to have consequences that people won't predict beforehand. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't know for sure that baseballs are different, although there's a lot of great evidence for it. Some really smart people have done some tremendous work, tremendous research over the last few months, and it's difficult to explain the explosion in home runs without resorting to the baseball as a major cause. So if we assume the baseball is different, well, what would that mean? Well, you'd think it would do something else besides just increase home runs. You'd think it would have some effect on pitchers. And certainly, I think it's reasonable to say, as pitchers have, that if the seams are lower, which they seem to be, the pitchers would almost feel compelled to dig deeper into the ball with their fingers for more torsion. And I'm not a pitcher, but
right.
it seems logical, and that by digging deeper, you would put more pressure on the finger, et cetera, et cetera. So it certainly wouldn't shock me if there is a connection here.
Rob, how much does the radar gun have to do with this? You know, you see your buddy throwing 97 miles an hour. You want to throw 97 miles an hour. What do you do normally when you throw really hard? You grip the ball harder. You grip it tighter. You try and throw it harder. And all these guys, that are getting blisters are guys that throw a hard slider and a very hard fastball that moves a lot. How much does that have to do with it?
I don't think there's any question that pitchers are ratcheting up everything they do just because that's the nature of the competition. It's always been the nature of competition to try to push the limit, right?
Yeah.
You can go back as far as you want. That's always been the essence of sport, and in particular professional sports, but also amateur sports, to push the limits. And I think that we might see more blisters for the same reason that we see more Tommy John surgery. Guys wanting to throw harder and harder and harder, and frankly, they have to do that. I mean, it's nice to say, well, they should just throw 90 like they used to. I don't think 90 gets it done anymore.
Mm.
I don't think it gets you drafted. I don't think it gets you a rotation spot unless you're some sort of freak like Jamie Moyer or Jeff Weaver when he was doing well. So they don't really have a choice. This is where the game is right now, and you're asking these guys to do things that maybe the human body isn't supposed to do, at least not consistently year in, year out. And that's, I think, why we have so many Tommy John surgeries. And it wouldn't at all surprise me if you're right, that quest for the harder fastball, the harder slider, the curveball that breaks even more, if that doesn't lead to more pressure and more blisters.
Rob, what do guys do to prevent, or historically, what have guys done to try to prevent blisters? Can you prevent them, or is it the type of thing that you know, until you deal with it, you don't spend a great deal of time trying to prevent it?
Well, having done a little research on these things, there's never been a cure-all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a cure at all.
Pickle juice doesn't work then. Brine doesn't work.
I don't think so. I mean, when you read stories about pitchers in the past who've had blister issues, they have tried everything. And what I believe is that the only thing that really fixes blisters is taking some time off and then maybe adjusting your grip a little bit because, you know, and calluses, obviously, that's ultimately what you want to do is build up a callus.
Right.
But it's difficult to do that and pitch every 5 days. So I think it's probably a problem that's best treated in the off season, but during the season, it's almost impossible to fix.
You know what? One of the things that interests me, and actually I'm not going to take credit for this, but a caller said, is it always starting pitchers who've had blisters? Have there been instances where relievers that, you know, that we know of, any sort of well-documented historical instances where a reliever was hampered by blisters?
I don't have – I can't think of anyone.
Yeah.
I don't have a database. I think it's significantly – more common for starting pitchers simply because of the pitch count.
Right.
I mean, a reliever might come in and throw 14 fastballs and 7 sliders, and that's it. He's done.
Right.
Whereas a starting pitcher is going to throw many more of both of those pitches typically. So it's almost always been, as far as I can remember, starting pitchers.
Is there, do you think, Rob, almost a built-in bias against pitching here? In other words, you know, pitchers, look, these guys spend an awful lot of time thinking about balls, holding balls, you know, rolling them around in their hand when they're watching games, obviously throwing balls, pitching. I mean, it's a tactile thing. And I can remember watching Pedro Martinez one time when I covered him sort of go through and you know, just he could feel the difference between balls. I couldn't feel the difference, but he could feel the difference between it. And yet we kind of tend to roll our eyes. It's, oh, my God, it's just pitchers complaining about something again, right? Because it always seems as if pitchers are complaining. Maybe should Marcus Stroman's at least a suggestion be taken seriously here and somebody at least examine whether or not there's anything at work here? Because I'll tell you what, you know, the last thing I want is a guy throwing 99 miles an hour, not feeling entirely comfortable with the ball. I mean, as a hitter, it's the last thing I want.
I think that, first of all, you're absolutely right. It's often in a player's mind. If you give a pitcher a baseball that weighs 12 ounces and tell him it's 11.5, he will say, you're right, this is lighter than it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's just human nature. It's not
sure.
Pitcher. It's just how we people are. Power suggestion is incredibly strong. That said, nobody knows the baseballs better than the people who use them. And I think if you have a consensus or a number of complaints or about something like that, of course you should check it out. And I think that baseball, MLB, has been avoiding this issue because they just don't want to deal with it. They have said that the baseballs the last 2 years, 2.5 years, are within their acceptable parameters, which I think is probably true. The problem is the parameters are very wide.
Yes.
Baseball has always had a wide range of tolerances for the weight, for the coefficient of restitution, basically the bounciness, for the height of the stitches. And what I think has happened is that the balls are still within those parameters, but just barely, and in a way that makes the balls travel farther. I mean, it seems obvious that's happening. You look at the data, the research that people have done, and I really wish, I don't believe there's a conspiracy per se. I don't think there was ever someone who made a phone call and said, hey, make the balls bouncier.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when they shifted the production or they changed the machine or something, or machines, that it just happened, and baseball doesn't want to face up to exactly what the ball looks like right now, and so they're giving us all this mumbo-jumbo about parameters and tolerances, and they're probably technically telling the truth, but they're also not telling the entire truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think their biggest concern is if they were to come out and say, you know what, yeah, there's something different, then people are going to go, oh, well, what about 2014? Hey, what about 2012? What about that home run record in 2010? I think that's part of the issue, is once you kind of admit that, yeah, something was wrong here, boy, you've opened a Pandora's box. Because
exactly
baseball
right.
people are like that.
Deal with the fallout. Yep.
Absolutely. Right. Rob, was great to talk to you again, man. You be well.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.